Uncoupled. Wert thou ever in love, Betty? Oh, most cruelly, madam. But the man I loved had another, more darling mistress, called Claret. Through sweet society, I was forsaken.
A pleasing task, no sooner gain it, but they refrain it, they oft disdain it for t'other flask. No sooner gain it, but they refrain it, nay, oft disdain it, for t'other flask.
And how do you find yourself now? As most folks are after the loss of an old lover.
How's that?
Ready for a new one.
Oh, would I were of thy humour. But my silly heart so set upon Mr. Friendly that all mankind beside are no more than my own sex to me.
Then you must have it, madam, or you'll go into a consumption.
But how shall I come at him, Betty?
Why,
run a risk, madam.
Pshaw, what risk?
Run away with him.
How is that possible when my uncle locks me up as if I were his only bottle of brandy?
You know, madam, I have sometimes the keys of both in my keeping. And if you please to uncork your conscience, I'll undertake in 8 and 40 hours, Mr. Friendly shall have at least half a dozen go-downs of you.
Oh, Betty, I'm afraid you flatter me.
Nay, madam, you are as good a judge of that as I. For you must own, he has a very promising person.
Sure, I don't think of that.
If any other woman thought half so much of it, you would pull her commode for her.
But I mean, I am afraid you are not sincere in your advice, and that if I should trust you with any design of that nature, you would discover it to my uncle.
But if I were to live with you, and have me wages raised after you married, I know whose suspicion does me a great deal of wrong.
Swear then to be true, and I will trust you. But, dear Betty, be out of the fashion for once, and keep your oath. I'll tell you why I so earnestly entreat you.
Custom prevailing so long amongst the great makes oaths easy potions to sleep on, which many on gaining good places repeat without ever designing to keep one. For an oath seldom kept as a virgin's fair fame, a lover's fond vows, or a prelate's good name, a loyal to truth, a statesman from blame, or a patriot heart in a courtier. Custom prevailing so long amongst the great makes oaths easy potions to sleep on, which many on meaning good places repeat without ever designing to keep on. For oaths seldom kept as a virgin's fair fame, a lover's fond vows, or a prelate's good name, a loyal to truth, a statesman from me, or a patriot heart in a courtier.
To meet me on t'other side and set a ladder against the wall, I'll toss over my handbox, venture catching cold in the dew, and take my fortune with him.
There's metal in the proposal, madam. Let's see the letter. He shall have it in a quarter of an hour, though I carry it myself.
But I won't venture neither, unless his answer tells he'll be ready. So, dear Betty, be careful. I have no mortal to trust but thee,
and no mortal fitter to be trusted.
So now my heart's at ease. I find that my resolution's good at the bottom, and since I've set my head upon running away, 'tis not my own uncle nor the garden wall shall stop me. Though he were as wise as a bishop, then the walls as high as church steeples. Though my uncle strives to ignore me, my lover's voice shall lure me to leap from the mount or the garden wall and fly this hated place. Oh, tedious day to me it is, but when soul's in the arms of his deities, swift as a roe at my hero's call, and in yon my hunter's chase.
Sight of me.
Sir, I did not think any harm. But when you come upon one unawares...
Unawares? I frightened you then. Marvellous. Your head was filled with other matters, which I suppose that close committee of the flesh and the devil have absolutely resolved to be the fundamentals of your constitution. When a girl 15 years does attain, love's follies invading her brain, her virtues held by a slight rein. For her equipage, hurry and noise, gay clothing and such female toys, she'll forego more substantial joys. To a feather, a powder to pay, her heart soon a captive would be. To keep such a one chaste, we must lock her up fast. That maxim best pleases me. To keep such a one chaste, we must lock her up fast. That maxim best pleases me. Talk? You malapert, why who should talk to you but I? Who am I, hussy? Who am I?
My uncle by relation, my guardian by my father's will, and my jailer against mine.
And if you are my prisoner, hussy, how dare you take such liberty?
Because liberty, sir, is the sweetest thing a prisoner can take.
Don't you think in your conscience now, mistress, you deserve to be locked up?
I think in my conscience you ought to let me marry, since I've a mind to it.
Provoking! Provoking! You dare own this to my face?
Why, sir, is it a fault? You have kept me in prison for these 10 months, and I did not know but my confessing it might deserve a little of your mercy.
Astonishing! Astonishing! The devil has hardened you, Hasse. You are a sight. Go to your chamber. People will stare at you. I would not have you seen abroad in such condition for all the theatre. Oh, Lord, your brain's turned. You shall bleed, mistress! I'll have your room darkened! Water brewer! Discipline and water brewer, ye gods!
Lucky uncle! I find you have a mind to drive me to a hard bargain. Therefore, to let you see that I am no haggler, a I'll make you an offer which shall fairly come up to the most you can make of me, as thus.
What new distraction hast thou got on thy head now?
Hear me. You know I have £8,000 to my fortune, and that by my father's will you are to be allowed the whole interest of it, till I'm either married or of age, to reimburse your expenses in maintaining me. Which said maintenance, by modest computation, may stand you in, let me see, about £7 or £8 a year.
Oh, £7!
For I have no clothes but my mother's. Now, sir, if you'll immediately give me the liberty of marrying the man I've a mind to, I'll consider he shall throw my fortune into the public funds the minute you throw me into his arms. So you shall have the use of my pence till I'm of age, as a premium for advancing to him the use of my person.
The girl begins to talk sensibly. But 'tis not yet proper to understand her. Look ye, child. When you have persuaded your lover to make the same proposal under his hand, then I shall believe you are equally mad to come at one another. In the meantime, let me advise you to your chamber, from which I will allow you the lovely prospect of Jonathan. The lovely prospect of the garden.
Give me chance to fret for this, my very wise uncle.
What a watchful old rogue is this!
A very dragon, sir!
To use a young creature so unmercifully!
Nay, sir! So uncivilly!
How, sir?
To force her to such extremities! To make her straddle over a great wall!
And risk her neck down the ladder at midnight!
When he ought to lend her his hand into a coach and six!
And out of his great gate at noonday!
To come to you, sir!
But the rascal has no breeding!
No breeding!
By Mercury, I'll be even with him!
You have reason, sir! For though I may say it,
that should not say it!
She is a lovely piece of
temptation!
Temptation, sir!
What's the clock, sir?
By the moon's rising, I believe it may be about past 10.
Then, sir, about past 12.
Oh, you'll have one of her blue silk stockings straddling over
the wall, sir.
At past 12 o'clock and a fine summer's morning, when all in the village sleep pleasantly, Cynthia's bright beams, all nature adorning, shall guide my swift steps to my lovely she. Then my fair Flora, fraught with kind wishes, I'll fold in my arms with amorous kisses, which serve as prelude to more solid blisses. Soon as the vicar has made us one, then my fair Flora, fraught with kind wishes, I'll fold in my arms with amorous kisses, which serve as preludes to more solid blisses. Soon as the vicar has made us
But where's the country fellow you promised should carry my answer to her letter?
Oh, Oh, sir.
There he is.
Marvelous. And if any suspects his face for a pimp's, I've no skill in the science, sir.
Well, Hob, canst thou carry this letter to Sir Thomas Testy's house?
Sir, yes.
Do so, and give it to Mistress Flora. But take care, nobody sees you deliver it.
Yes, sir. But must I carry it tonight? It is my door.
You must go immediately.
Oh, I hope, sir, there's no difference between you and Sir Thomas.
Oh, I just hope so.
Why, truly, sir, I do hear their being, and therefore I daren't care to meddle or make between friends, for 'tis but an unthankful office. And you know, Sir Thomas is very crusty. And if he does but suspect that I should concern myself, my happy may take the lore of me. And you know, sir, that lore is a frightful thing. The terrible law, when it fastens its paw on a poor man, it grips till he's undone. And what I am doing may turn to my ruin, though rich as the Lord Mayor of London. Therefore, I'll be wary what message I'll carry, unless we first make a sure bargain. I would be damned if I thoroughly satisfied that champ should suffer a farthing. Has a way of just ruining your day when you think you're a-going a-strolling. They fasten the lock, then you're up in the dock, then they're asking for who's the bell tolling. You swing in the air with merry a pair, your shoes are a-dancing on nothing. Because of that letter, I should have known better than carry no note for no cutting.
The law shall never trouble thee. I'll secure thee from any.
Very well, sir, very well. That's as much as I can desire, but pray, don't take unkindly what I say, for no man is willing to bring himself in the premium manure, if he can help it.
No, no. Prithee, be gone.
Oh, I will, sir, I will, be pleased, sir, to read the prescription for me.
Steth, how I'm tortured by this foolish fellow, and I can send nobody else without being suspected. Oh, don't trouble thyself with the superscription, but deliver it as I bid thee.
Oh, I will, sir, I will. Tis my dark. Would it not do as well, sir, if I should carry it in the morning?
I'd rather go in the morning. Why so?
Oh, why, truly, sir, I'll tell you. At the lower end of Sir Thomas's orchard, one of our poor neighbors, being in a disparaging condition, had gone and hanged himself. Now, there are some do say he walks by night in several sorts of shapes.
What, and so you're afraid, are
no,
you?
No, indeed, sir, I'm not afraid of. Oh, I thank mercy. I defy the devil in all his works.
A pox on thee, then get thee gone.
No, I must tell you, I have a great conceit ill appear to me. For you must know, tomorrow the town is pressed as a zit upon him.
Where
you see, I'm to be one, and who knows, but he may have something upon his spirits that may make him break his mind to me. And if so, let me tell you, I'm afraid that will be a bad day for somebody. For if Sir Thomas had kept his fences whole, mayhap this man had ne'er been tempted to have gone into his ground to hanged himself.
Well, then,
before you do that as it will, I'll do your business for you, therefore.
Bring me about it, then!
Why, I'll warrant you, don't trouble yourself no further. For if I say I'll do it, I'll do it. That's my humor.
Ah!
matter to sink any of the principal, indeed. So that could the girl make good the proposal? I should not care how soon she were kissed black in the face. But should I give her the least liberty upon it, once she's made use on it, her conscience might desire to be off. And I dare swear her lover will spare neither cost nor care to come at her without my consent. And gold, in particular, has a prevailing influence in a love affair. Therefore, I must watch my ward myself. Servants may be corrupted. To guard my Hesperian tree requires more care than of old, that was robbed by a half deity, and without the assistance of gold. But in this age, gold softens the mind. A governance tongue to lay mute, charm prudes make a coy virgin kind. Where's to lover with ease steals the fruit? Allow your soft sighing rogues to run a caterwauling.
Sir, yonder's somebody with a light coming down the field.
Well, stand still then and observe.
This is the house. Now, how shall I go about to do this same business? For if Sir Thomas should spy me, he'd maul me for certain. But let me alone. I'll be cunning enough for him, I'll warrant ye. If he sees me, he must have more eyes than two. Now, let's see for this same letter. Here it is. Poor mistress. Flora. Mistress Flora.
Where are you carrying, dear God? Where are you carrying this letter, friend?
Letter, sir?
Letter, sir? Aye, letter, sir. Who did you bring it from?
Bring it from? I brought it from nobody, but I.
How came you by it?
Buy it, sir? I did not buy it. I found it in my pocket.
Found it in your pocket?
He found it in his pocket.
Found it in his pocket. What? Did it grow there then, huh? You may laugh. That's enough. Where are you going with it?
Going with it, sir? I don't know where I'm going with it.
What do you hear at this time of night?
I can't say what I do here. I'll be going home, if you please. I wish you a good night.
Hold a little, friend. Let me reward you first for bringing, however.
Not a farthing. I must not take one farthing for Maester friendly charging me to the contrary. Therefore, sir, pray, can't offer it.
Oh, did he, sir? but something I will give you, however. Pray, take that and that, sir.
Oh, why do you strike him for? Oh, for God, I'll take the law of you. Oh, what, you go to murder me?
You are either let her carry you, impudent rogue. Take that!
Oh,
and that's
no.
There's more for you.
No. Bear witness, see if I can't make you pay for it. Oh,
lay hold of him, Sirrah, till I examine the letter. To Mistress
Flo, Flo, Flo.
Flora!
Right.
The proposal you mention in case of extremity will certainly do, but it will be a much pleasanter piece of justice to bite him for his barbarity. The letter and all things shall be ready exactly at 12 tonight. If you have anything farther of moment, this fellow is honest and will convey it safe to your eternal lover, Tom Friendly. Yes, I find that he is honest with a pox to him, and I'll reward him accordingly. Here, desire that honest gentleman to walk down to the bottom of that well and let him stay there till I call.
Oh, I can't, as I ought to be saved, I can't. Oh, pray for Baron, damn murder an innocent man.
I never till now was concerned in strife. Have mercy, Sir Thomas, and spare poor Bob's life, and give me my freedom, as I had before. I'll be a good boy, and I'll do so no more. Indeed, I won't.
In the name.
Maester Jonathan, I forewarn you, consider what you do. Can't be concerned with this.
In with him, I say.
You are all principles. There are no accomplices in murder.
Thank you.
wife. Never trouble thyself. He will go a-rogging sometimes, and there's an end on't. He will come home again, I warrant it.
I think of my conscience, 'tis no great matter whether he does or no.
Oh, stop.
Oh, a base wrong, to be out of the way in such a busy time as this is. The sun has been up this hour and quarter, and that grossless boy, I warrant, has not been abed yet. Prithee, Osmond, step and see, and he'd been shooting at the park gate. And oh, I'll draw the water in the meantime.
Oh, do you then?
This boy's the plague of my life, I think. 'Twere more than time the gammon had been boiled by now. And now the boat will come to the wake before he be called, and then it won't be fit to be eaten. Ooh, a jug of mince! But I've bidden and begging and prayed him to stay, and he won't go! Yet notwithstanding all I have said, could I lay eyes on him, I should forget his roguery and forgive him.
Sir Thomas has done it. But if there be law in all the king's kingdom, I'll happy ask him for sight. Oh, I can't know, but it may prove the death of me. I'll do him next as he prizes, and it cost me 40 shillings. I'll do him, come on, what will. See if I can't make him pay for it. Oh, my poor boy.
His looks are stark wild.
But Sir Thomas Lestrade.
So hopeful a child.
I'll revenge if I can. Oh, talk so no more.
He's a great man, and we are but poor.
I'll revenge if I can. Oh, talk so no more.
He's a great man, and we are but poor. He's a great man, and we are but poor.
All you do say signify nothing. I'll happy ask him for it, let cost what it will. Go to bed, boy, whilst I get thee dry clothing.
Think thou art taught to return good for ill.
I'll enlighten his crown and bind o'er to the session. The boy shall my heifer and the old mare. Odds bled eyed, ang of a drowner.
Forbear such expressions.
Prithee forgive and be not severe.
I'll never forgive and I will be severe.
Prithee forgive and be not severe.
I'll never forgive and I will be severe.
Prithee forgive and be not severe.
I'll never forgive and be not severe.
Sugar-sops to comfort thy bowels.
Yes, son, come on now.
Come on.
Jonathan, whatever became of that fellow that fell into the well last night? Has anybody taken any care of him?
No, sir. Your worship said he should lie there till your worship was pleased to call for him.
Sirrah, you have not drowned the fellow, have you?
I drowned him, ain't I? Odie, I'm not a servant, and 'twas you, by the way. And any mischief should come on, 'tis you must answer it.
And you impudent rogue, would you dare put your villainies upon me? Did I not see you collar him, and did not you lay violent hands upon him, and am not I a witness against you?
Lord, at this rate, a man is as good be a galley slave as a servant. If one don't do as one's bid, one's head's broke. If one does, one's to be hanged for it. come what will, the gallows will hold two. That's the best odds.
He says true faith. Hold your own counsel, sirrah, and I'll see what I can do to save you.
Now, as far as that goes, you see, do as you see, cause. Let it go that way, let it go that way. It's all it takes to me go which way it will. One good turn will require another.
Hold your peace, sirrah! Then, be gone. Surly dog is not to be frightened, I see. I must, as is customary with a man in power, protect the fellow in his roguery for my own sake. A rogue that is hired to do what's required, and ne'er stick at honor or conscience, to compass his ends will destroy his best friends, for a villain's sure friendship is nonsense. Oh, shame!
For a villain's your friendship is nonsense, yet still he may laugh. Well, assured he is safe, and despite all attempts to accuse him, for his patron, oft-times promoting his crimes, must for self-preservation excuse him. Oh, shame! Must for self-preservation excuse him.
A letter for you.
Who brought it?
Mr. Friendly's man, sir.
Ah, let me see.
Sir, your niece informs me that she has made you a proposal concerning our marriage, which I am willing to ratify whenever you please to do me the honor of a meeting. Yours. That meeting may be to meet with my niece for aught I know. I must have the particulars under his hand before I seem to understand him. Therefore, that I don't understand him shall be my answer. Marvellous. And in the meantime, I'll put on a smoother look to the girl and show her a little of the country diversion from the mount and the garden. And if they are in earnest, that good humour will work her to work him up to my price. Let the fellow stay till I write him an answer.
Yes, sir.
Tap the ale! Quick, quick!
This disguise does not conceal me.
You'll then be out of countenance to no purpose, sir. But pray, sir, what do you propose by turning ballad singer?
I do propose that Mistress Flora shall know me by my marvelous voice, and that consequently her wit will soon be at work to come at me.
Well, sir, but of what use can I be? For I can no more sing than I can fast.
But you can help to draw other gaping fools about me.
There's some sense in that indeed, sir.
My niece, if you would see this marvelous pastime, you may have as fair a prospect of it here as in the crowd.
Marvelous! I like it very well here, sir.
Well, ho, this same is entitled An Excellent New Ballad in Praise of the Country Waif.
Aha, we shall have a merry ballad.
Bless my eyes, is that not he, Betty?
The very he, madam.
How marvellous.
Hush.
I'll sing you a ditty and warrant it too. Give but attention to me for a while. Of transactions at court and in country too, toilsome pleasures and pleasing toil. Accept it, I pray, as your health mate you take. To some 'twill give joy and some others annoy. All's fair at a country wake.
All's fair at a country wake.
At courts we see patriots noble and just sit for employments of honor and power. But then there are sycophants unfit for trust. They blend with the great and in number are more. Slaves who would honor and honesty stake with sordid intention to get place or pension. Strange news at a country wake.
Strange news at a country wake.
Most of our gentlemen patriots are, though very bad statesmen, I freely confess. They design harm to none but a fox or a hare, and are always found loyal in war and in peace. The farmers in his dread earth fertile make, the husbandman's ploughing, his planting and sowing, gets health and good cheer at a country wake.
Gets health and good cheer at a country wake.
Our girls blooming fair without washes or paints, from neighbouring villages hither resort. They kiss sweet as roses, yet virtuous as saints. Who can say more for the ladies at court? No worthy cares vex them asleep or awake, but the time may improve in peace and true love, and innocent mirth at the country wake.
And innocent mirth at the country wake.
The schemes of a courtier are full of intrigue.
Are full of intrigue.
Here all's fair and open, dark deeds we despise. Dark deeds we set rural contentment in courtly fatigue. Who chooses the former is happy and wise.
Let us pray for the king and for England's sake. From all factions free may his subjects agree. As well at the court as the country wake. As well at the court as the country
Why, I bought one of your ballads for her, and she just no wink upon me.
They say, it's I am not to go 10 years from me.
nappy ear to pass away the time a little.
Call for what you have a mind to.
Hiya! Out!
Chum coming, chum coming.
Oh! Oh!
Maester, how did he do it?
Oh, and here's Maester William.
Very well, sir. For a man what is drowned in the great well yonder just last evening.
Very well indeed, sir. Come, pray, sit down. Maester Friendly. Come, pray, and drink one pot of Ornego, huh?
Well, sit down. All this fellow's impertinence will make us observed. What does that do with an apron on, Hob?
Well, no, I'm putting on but just now. Well, father will do what the neighbors do, and everyone in the town almost sells ale veritably. But now we sell several other sorts of liquors. Oh, and wine, too, on occasion, be.
Wine?
Aye, home, sorts of wine.
Say, sound so, bring us some claret, then.
Claret, sir.
No claret.
We have no claret. But we may not sell claret. It is against the law. Now, you may have some of your port, your red port, or your white port, or such sort of stuff.
Such stuff as thou hast, then, pretty us.
Oh, I will, sir. Come.
Now, to my mind, sir, what do you think of a little snack?
A little snack now and some of your sugar in it? Tis mango.
Prithee, bring what thou likes best thyself. For I'm sure it will please no palate but thy own.
Sir, with humble submission, sir, I don't yet discover any great hopes from this same project of yours. Pray, sir, how do you propose to come at the lady?
While the garden door's shut, and that old dragon is so watchful of the fruit, there are but little hopes indeed. However, I won't quit the place. Fortune may yet do something unexpectedly to befriend me.
Come, my merry countrymen, let each man take his glass and give us a dance or two, and then we'll have the cudgels out.
Yes, and like your worship, we're all ready.
Yes, we are.
Come, Scratch, sprinkle!
Out of my mind!
yucky up days, Roggy. But you beat God in here, and you're never gonna die at work.
Oh, hey, hey! What's the matter now? Must I be beat all the days of my life?
You crossless Rog. Mind your business then, do. Yonder's your poor mother within, scarring and scarring till she sweats again, and nobody to draw one drop of beer.
Well, I don't care a farthing. I won't draw a drop more if you go to that. Oh. Do your worst and take your course.
Sirrah, come in
and dance dead gods in here.
Dante!
I won't go in. So I won't. And if that trouble ye, I will dance. Oh, and dance. Again!
Seen such a rebel, the worst of undutiful boys. Thy tongue, like the builders of Babel, confused the ear with its noise. Remember thy dreary figure when out of the well thou wast brought. Thy mother and I toil with vigor to save thee, but now thou worth naught. Get down.
Is a devil for mischief. He never does what he is told. He's always a getting in trouble, no matter how often we scold. Just look at him bossing those people and telling them how they does. I'll give him the soundest of thrashings as soon as I get me the chance. Come here, little fucker. Get down there now. Listen to me. Now, what an untoward boy, as e'er was born! Mercy forgive me for begetting thee!
Harry, come up, what's there to do, I trow?
Here's the cudgels, and like you. Will your worship please do have us begin?
Aye, by all means. Make haste, Jonathan, come round. My good countrymen, here is my hat and my favor. Here, Jonathan, hang it there. And he that wins it, let him wear it. The first Somersetshire man that breaks a head shall have half a crown to drink. And he that breaks that rogue Hobbs' head shall have another.
Charlie!
Aye.
Go find the vicar of our town, and I'll hold you an angel or my hand. I'll fetch you another and stake it down that I break both his and thy head. You bounce will say at least that is right, for my cudgel had proven a good and good. Can make no distinction twixt yeoman and knight. Sing Hadle dum, cudden.
Oh,
He that breaks my head will have somewhat to do, I'll tell you that. Be who he will, he shall earn his money. He caught all Bribble Bramble. We're unlucky to begin with air. I'll take up the cudgel.
No, let the best man of here take up the t'other any dare.
Why didn't he be a Zummerzet chairman? Let him be a Zummerzet chairman.
Why fight for Gloucestershire?
Gloucestershire!
Why don't care who knows it?
Arthur! Stand it there!
Well said, Tom! Brave Tom!
For Gloucestershire!
Thou breaks his head, I'll give thee another.
Don't ye fear, maester. He caught oil, knighten.
Do if thou canst, and not fear thee, I'll...
Let oil dress thy jacket. I'll douse thy summers at their company.
Will you? In Tordantina was born and bred. Tis not I don't value a broken head. Nor should I fear a boy stout in his wrath, like Hercules or Golding of Bath. La 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 la.
Oh!
creature, if ever you redeem yourself or me from eternal bondage, be kind and fly into the arms of liberty.
What would you have me to do?
Oh, fly from this place, dear Flora, thy jailer has left thee free, and before the next blush of Aurora, you'll find a kind guardian in me. And see that the enemy don't rally.
Oh, but consider if my uncle should surprise me. Consider the doors open, madam.
Nothing but delay can ruin us.
Oh, I'm in a thousand frights.
Thank you. doctor that will cure thee of all thy fears forever. Marvelous.
To the parson! The parson, my dear angel!
Oh, Lord, what if he should not be at home now?
What should we do for something to be afraid of?
Thus, maidens, deny their desires, yet languish for what they refuse. And though their hearts glow with love's fires, seem cold to the joys they would choose. The tongue and the heart are two factions. We scarce reconcile till made bright. Like statesmen or speeches and actions have commonly contrary sides. Like statesmen or speeches and actions have commonly contrary sides.
Bam him till the business is over.
Thieves! Thieves!
Brave, sir, what's the matter?
What the devil? Let me go, you rogue! I'll run my sword on your guts!
I'm going to bring something out of order, and therefore it will be a friendly part in us to take care of you.
Let me go, you dog!
Nay, sir! Stand, have a care. Stand, have a care. One step to more will fate all prove. Stand, have a care. Stand, have a care. One step to more will fate all prove. For we know who you are. Sir Thomas Testy threw Hob in the well. Deny that you did it, though for a hand with hell. Before a captive, but not out of need. For better to marry entirely from greed. For better to marry entirely from greed. We wish you no harm, sir, in spite of all that. All that's needed's for you to stand pat. Stand, have a care. Stand, have a care. One step to move will fate I'll prove. Stand, have a care. Stand, have a care. One step to move. Well, fate I'll prove. Come, sir, make your thrust.
What the devil are you, sir? A philosopher, and this small pup is my argument.
I believe you're a highwayman and you're... Up there is your livelihood.
Sir, you may be as scurrilous as you please, provided you don't pass. This way.
But, death, sir, what business have you to hinder me?
Sir, we have no business at present but to hinder you.
But how comes it to be your business?
Because, sir, it's our business to do our master's business.
Huh? And we have some modest reason to believe that he and the parson are now doing your niece's business.
Thief, Roblin, where are you?
Hey, sir! Compose yourself!
For they will soon be here.
Your blessing, sir.
Does that not show a sweet temper in him now? To ask it of you?
But his bare uncle.
And I'm struck all of a heap and dumb.
Come, sir. Don't be as obstinate as an old covetous father at the end of a comedy. Consider.
The main action's over. It as good as be reconciled.
Hold on, sir!
I can't be reconciled.
Go thy ways, like a cross-brained old fool!
Persist in his obstinacy. It can be no bar to our happiness. You look melancholy, my love.
I think I've reason. You've promised to carry me to a doctor who should cure me of my fears. But on the contrary, I find that the malady increases, and in nothing more than the dread of your inconstancy. I have forever lost my uncle's favor, and have now no friend but you. Should you hereafter estrange your heart from me, I'm wretched indeed. Reflect on what I've said. Excuse my suspicions. And remember, there is no return of seasons in love. Sweet is the budding spring of love, makes blooming hopes or fears removed. And when possessed of beauty's charms, fruition like the summer wand.
banish those fears and be assured they are groundless. Will!
Sir?
Run and call our country neighbors back again to their diversions, in which they were interrupted by Sir Thomas.
Yes.
Tell them they shall be merry with me today to make amends for being frightened.
Yes.
It was a happy interruption, for it gave us the opportunity to be forever fixed in love. Look merry, my dear.
My concern vanishes. Now I've disclosed my fears, and cheerfulness will soon resume its throne.
You shall never have cause to mention those fears again.
It is easy to talk thus now, but the difficulty will be to speak these sentiments with truth a year hence. However, as I have run all hazards for you, honor will oblige you to conceal your inconstancy from me, should you be guilty of it. Let me not discover in thee a faithless lover.
I'll never prove a rover, but true as a turtle to thee, my dear.
Not prompt me to believe me. Do not then deceive me.
My conduct ne'er shall grieve thee. Let thee suffice my heart sincere.
Let our lives be spent
in merriment,
with the sweet cement
of soft content.
May our joys augment.
May no dire event disturb our mutual pleasure.
May our lives be spent in merriment,
with the sweet cement of soft content.
May our joys augment.
May no dire event disturb our mutual pleasure. May our lives be spent in merriment, with the sweet cement of soft content. May our joys augment, may no dire event disturb our mutual pleasure.
Is Sir Thomas gone?
Aye, Hobbs. Come in, come in. What art afraid of?
Bled, I was woundedly afraid of his ward. Oh, had he kept him stick, I'd thrash him the mummy.
I'm sorry, neighbour. Sir Thomas's passionate folly disturbed your sports one way. I'll endeavour to make you all satisfaction. This is my wedding day, and consequently a day of jubilee.
Oh, we wish you happiness, Master Friendly.
And Mistress Laura.
Aye, Mistress Friendly and Mistress Laura.
Oh, I wish you joy too. Oh, when I was hopped in the well, I little thought I'd live to tell you so.
Ah, Bob. Oh, thou shalt laugh at thy danger now, 'tis over. Come, we'll have a song and dance, and haste to my dwelling to finish the day with mirth and hearty cheer. The night I'll dedicate to love and thee.
Of what I love much dearer than life. The coming night shall give me fruition of all I could wish in a lovely wife. To enjoy the sweets the country afford, who would not forego the factory of port? To hunt fish and fowl and taste the full bore, there's nothing so healthful as rural sport.
Success this day has gained the possession of what of love much dearer than life. The coming night shall give him fruition of all he could wish in a lovely wife. To enjoy the sweet, the country of court, who would not forego the flattery of court? To hunt fish and fowl and taste the full bowl, there's nothing so helpful as rural sports.
Possession of what I love, the cheer and light, the coming night, the fruition of all we could wish in a lovely life.
strike sure, but be thy.